Steve, I had like a joke or something to start the podcast with, and I completely forgot it. But I promise you, this is a top-notch show, and we're on
Was
our
it a good
stuff.
joke?
It wasn't like a joke. It wasn't like, oh, did you hear the one about the, I don't know. But it was just like, there's something funny that happened that I was gonna, I don't know, it must not have been that important. Anyways, hi, Steve. How are you?
Wonderful. It's podcast
Wonderful.
night.
I'm great. I'm great. I'm excited. We have an excellent discussion. I think that's what this turned that turned into is excellent discussion. And both 2024 Darian slash 2020 or 2006 Darian, quite excited about this week's podcast episode because we're joined by former Penn State wide receiver, one of the greatest Penn State wide receivers ever. We didn't tout him up enough for that. It truly, legitimately, you look in the record book and he's one of the best.
He's like
Deion
top four,
Butler.
top three in like
Yeah.
every category. So Deion Butler, yes.
Yes. Deion Butler spent some time with us. And we talked about the with the draft coming up this weekend. We talked about not necessarily football, but we talked about the life around football that leads into going into the draft, that process, what that moment was like. It's a great discussion. And then we've got some Steve is running the show today. He emailed me. He sent me a long email today. So he's running the show. So he is CFB slash commencement date change and then business slash event discussion. That's how he put it in the email. So I'm excited
Sounds
for
like a
today's
brief email.
podcast. It was no, there were more words, but well,
Okay.
that's a tease, Steve.
Okay.
Anyways, did we say the name of this podcast?
What podcast?
I
Oh,
don't
yeah,
think we
no.
did.
Go ahead.
It's called Stuff Summer Says
Steve.
with Steve, right? Because Steve's running the show today. All right, go ahead and listen to our Dion interview, and we'll be back after this. Steve, our every week or every podcast episode, there has been a jersey behind you, and now we get to chat with the persons whose jersey it is this
This
week.
is a guest who doesn't know the kind of influence he's had in this podcast since its inception,
He
right?
he's
So
been
he has
on,
been here since the start, but
yeah.
didn't know it till now, and he's probably still wondering why. But yeah.
He is former Penn State wide receiver, former Seattle Seahawk, Deion Butler. Deion, how are you?
I'm good, man. Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm glad to be on here today. So just excited. I haven't seen Steve in a while, man. So it's good to just get on here, chat with him, catch up, and it's good. I'm glad to be
And
here.
Darian's surprised that anybody says that they're surprised and they haven't seen me in a while and they're excited about it. So I feel good about that. Darian's wondering why. So that's great.
There's the first shocker right there.
Exactly. Why we wanted to have you on this week, I think a couple reasons, and we'll get to the Penn State stuff, but I think particularly the interesting point with you this week is you were drafted in the NFL and the draft is coming up this week. So I kind of want to pick your brain and see what that process was like, particularly maybe more so from the less X's and O's stuff and more the sports business side, and kind of focus there. And then interested to kind of hear about your life after football as well. So let's start there. Let's go back in time, 2009, correct? What was this week, not draft day? What was this Monday before draft day like for you? What was this week leading up to draft day like?
So it was nerve-wracking, right? Because people, you have to realize you've literally been training for months on end, basically, where you just sleep, eat, breathe football, and you're sleep, eat, breathing these drills, right? The 40, the cone drill. You're trying to eat right so you can weigh in at a certain weight, and then you also want your body fat right. So there's so many pressures, and then you've just come off probably doing your pro day at the school. So there's so many things that you just come from doing that now it's part of it is a relief that you're done doing all the running, the jumping, like all those numbers, they're done. Like what you've had is what you've had. All any drills, what they've seen, they have it now. So that part was the relief that you're not, wondering what your times are going to be, your numbers are going to be. And then it's also now it's the nerve-wracking part of not every team or how many other teams you're talking to. They're kind of, feeling you out and you're, hey, we're looking at this and you're paying attention to who's making trades and things like that. So it's kind of nerve-wracking on just the fact of like, okay, I have no clue where I'm going to go. Some guys are blessed. They know they're going to be like a first round or a top 10, but kind of after that, it's kind of like a crapshoot, right? You're kind of like, man, I could be anywhere from second to fourth. I don't know how long I'll be here. So it's a very unique time in that, like I said, part of it is you're coming off of relaxing, like, okay, I'm finally done running and doing the physical stuff, but now the mental part is like, okay, where am I going to go? I just got to wait and see.
Did you have, I know like now it's they'll bring players on site for interviews and stuff like that. Did you go through that process?
Yes, so I went to a number of teams, but yeah, you'll tour their facilities. You'll meet with, so like me on the offensive side, so I would meet with the offensive coordinator, and you meet with the head coach, offensive coordinator, and a wide receiver coach. They'll run you through some concepts. They probably want to pick your brain. You know, hey, if you see a cover two, you know, what routes do you think you? But they're going to kind of pick your brain. They want to see how you think. They want to see how well you can diagnose defenses, or, you know, if opposite end, if you're a defensive guy, how well you can diagnose offenses and things like that. But it's kind of their up close and personal chance to get to see you and see how you operate and things like that, even before that draft process. Because once you get to the draft, there's like a whole like open table, like, think speed dating almost. Like you'll have a set time to meet with certain teams that they schedule an interview, but outside of that, it's open time of just teams can walk up and pull you into an interview.
In terms of draft prep back then, what were you most confident about yourself for? Like, what in terms of going through that, what were you most confident about? And then the second part of that, what was the most, I don't know, seemingly BS part of the process between the end of college and going to getting selected?
So probably the part I was really confident about was, it's going to be ironic, but it was my bench press, right? Because I was a smaller guy. And so at Penn State, playing for Paterno, you didn't do like pro day stuff, right? He wasn't big into junior days. And so like back then, right, you never knew what guys ran. Like you didn't know what juniors or sophomores ran or lifted, right? That was like, I have no clue. So we also kind of were the same. I had never ran a 40-yard dash. I had never done like heavy bulk lifting. So I was really confident of like, wow, like I'm stronger than people think. And I was confident in that part to go out there and show that, because I know like the expectation was probably like, oh, this guy's gonna get like, you know, there's a little speed guys get like 5 reps, 6 reps on 225, and I could get more than that. So that was good.
How many reps were there?
How many reps did I get?
Yeah.
I want to say I got like 13 or
Okay.
so, which was like, you know, for my size, right? Because, you know, my game wasn't power at all. So that was just something that I thought was a really good thing of like, oh, okay, he's not just little whimsy kid out there. To your point, another part that was, and then even the strength of mine, which was a 40, was funny because I had no confidence in that. I had never ran a 40. Even training, you only train for the first 20. They said after 20 yards, you're at your top speed. So it's all about the get off and staying low and getting that 20. So even training, I never ran a full 40 until I got to Indianapolis. It was my first time.
That's
We talk
amazing.
about that story. There's a funny story with that too. But the most BS part of it, gosh, it's hard to explain on here, but there's so many things that you do before the time that you see when you're on TV, right? People see the running, the jumping, and stuff like that, but you've done like all this blood work. One of the things that they had us do, I think test our flexibility was, imagine like sitting on the ground and like rolling backwards with your feet to see if your toes can touch. Like, so you'll be on like your shoulders, and they wanted to see if you could get into that position and hold it. And it was like, this has nothing to do with football. But literally everybody had to do it. They wanted to see if you could roll on your back, roll over onto your shoulders, and put your feet down to the ground in front of you. Like, okay. So that one was a BS, kind of like, this, what are we doing here, guys?
Well, so before we forget the 40 time story.
Yeah.
So yeah, the 40 time. So I never ran a full 40. Once again, like I had a good 20, but you know, you don't really know. But like the guys when I was training were like, hey man, you're gonna have a solid 40, you know, pretty good, but never did a full one. So I go out there, run my first one, and the guy I remember that was happened to have the stopwatch near the end, he was my wide receiver coach for the East West Shrine game. So I already kind of had a relationship with him. And I ran it and I turned around. I remember like on my way back, and he was like, oh shit, man. So I didn't know if that was a good, oh crap, or like a bad one. So I'm like, you know, like what? He's like, Man, you just ran, and because the hand time I think was like 4:28 or 7 or something on the hand time,
Nice.
which is, give me the fastest time, that's all I cared about. But it was just funny because for those like 2 seconds, I was like, what does that mean? Did I run a 4:7 or did I
Yep.
run a, a blazing time? So that was a pretty funny story because my heart almost dropped. I was like, oh my gosh, I hope I didn't just like mess this up, because you don't really feel like you're going that fast, man. You're just like kind of floating, but you don't, like, you see it on TV, like, oh God, he's moving. But like when you're running, it just feels like, oh my gosh, everybody's staring at me, and am I there yet? Am I there yet?
Longest 4 seconds of your life. So you get to draft day. You said you after maybe the first 10, you didn't know. And at the time that you got drafted, the draft was 2 days, right? It was
Right.
okay. Did you have an inkling that of what day it was going to be at all? Did you?
So I had an inkling of second and third round. Chicago was really high on me as far as like second round, and calling my agent and saying second round. So, and they were coming up, and they kind of, draft ebbs and flows. So it was kind of like okay, they started this run on receivers, like two receivers, three receivers picks. I was like, all right, here's the time if you want a receiver. So I remember in the second round, and Chicago was coming up, and I'm like, all right, well, this is it. You know what I mean? And once again, you're sitting there, I was sitting there at home with all my friends around and stuff. And I had the little flip phone, like when it was first cool, like the little flip phone that had the full keyboard, though. You remember that Verizon phone? Had a full keyboard, you could flip it. I had that one, and Chicago comes up and they trade back. And I don't know who they traded with. They traded with somebody. And so I'm like, ah, dang, that was my chance for second round. I don't know. But once again, like, this highs and lows. So then you're like, all right, well, they traded back to wherever they traded to. And they were like, all right, we're going to get you in the third round. And lo and behold, so like other teams are calling, but nobody sounded as confident as Chicago. So I was like, okay, Chicago, Chicago. And then going into the third round, Chicago's pick was coming up somewhere, and Seattle trades, and I get the call from, I want to say it was like a 425 area code. Never been out there. I didn't even go out there for my pre-draft process. I think I might have talked to them like in passing type of deal, but I never like anything serious. I never knew about Seattle being very interested in me, and even enough to trade up in front of Chicago to get me. So that was kind of that draft story and how that came about. And this is one of those things, man. The draft is a crazy thing, man, because you'll have teams that, they don't, like Seattle, they didn't want me to know, or they didn't want other teams to know that they were interested, right? Because you don't want a bidding war. And so like you'll get drafted by a team some of the times that you barely talked to, or you didn't even know was serious about you. It's such a like a mind game.
What was that call like, and who was the first person, family, friends that you talked to, hugged, celebrated with?
So I was with like some close friends from high school. My parents were there, and I remember it was Coach Jim Moore Jr. at the time, and he's like, are you ready to be a Seahawk? And I was like, and I'm you know Steve knows me, I'm like real chill, like I don't really get all crazy hype. So I'm like, yeah man, that's cool. And he's like, it doesn't sound like it. I'm like, no, I'm excited, man. I'm just, you know what I mean, like, because you see on TV, like people call, like, ah, oh, the crowd, like it wasn't that. I was super excited. But the funniest thing, which I've told a million times, but my mom was just in the background, and she was like, Washington? Oh my God, no, Washington. And then she's saying it loud enough where like they can hear it on the phone. I'm like, Mom, chill. But she just didn't want me to go right all the way across the coast. But it was just funny because she literally said that out loud where they could hear it in the like room where they were in on the other line. And I'm like, Mom, come on, you gotta relax.
You mentioned about an agent, and I'm curious, particularly back then, because there wasn't the NIL aspect. We'll get to that in a second, but there wasn't the NIL aspect, and there wasn't kind of like this earlier agent selection process. How did you find your agent, and what was that process like?
That process was actually, majority of the time what guys did is you kind of went with other people you trusted. So like for me, I know Tamba Holly had the same agent, and some Tamba was someone I respected right from when I was a freshman. That senior class that we had, Michael Robinson, Tamba Holly, Alan Zamaitis, all those guys, Calvin Lowry. A lot of those guys were guys that I really respected as far as not just on the field, but like off the field as well. As like, hey, I don't think they're making the worst choices ever, right? So what you would do is you would kind of tend to start there, like, hey, let me see who the guys I liked or respected went with, and then at least that'll get them a foot in the door so I can interview that person. And that's where eventually I landed with my agent. I started with because he had the same Tomba had the same agent, so I interviewed him. And just it's almost like going to college again, right? When you have all these coaches come to your house, you have all these agents come to your house, and they present their best foot forward as far as kind of what they feel they can do with you. They'll show you, the players that they have on their current roster, people they may think you're like, and kind of give you that whole vision. So you'll talk through that, and then they'll kind of push you towards, or at least show you some financial people as well, of like, hey, here's who we have, and, someone you can look at. You don't have to use them, but I mean, it's a whole recruiting process, and it's really overwhelming, a lot of it, just because a lot of guys don't have a background in finance. So when you're talking to a financial advisor, 20, 21, half of the stuff you're saying is going over my head, so I don't know how to even decipher, hey, that's a good idea, or that's actually not a good idea. And then, unless if you're fortunate enough where you have parents that can understand it, but then you'll have people that their parents also don't come from that, so they don't understand a lot of the financial lingo that was going on, things like that. So the agent part was a little bit more straightforward. The finance one is the one where it gets really tricky, because that's, obviously that's a big part of it, your finances, but it's just like you're not really well equipped. Majority aren't really well equipped to even make a great decision there, because you don't know, finances and things like that to that degree.
Do you wish? Go ahead, Darian.
I was just gonna ask, do you wish that there was for players coming into the league? I know there are assistance programs and things like that, but do you wish that there was more education even at the college level
I definitely think at
for
the
this one?
college level, that's somewhere that they can definitely make a strong leap. I think the biggest thing, honestly, though, still is going to be the kid themselves, right? Because at that point in college, when you get rolling, it's hard to tell you stuff, right? It's hard to tell a kid like, hey, no, you shouldn't do that, or you should do this. Like, man, I'm rocking out Beaver Stadium every Saturday. Like, I'm good. I got this. So it's something, and I say in college because I think it has to be something repetitive. It has to be continuous. To your point, right? The NFL has the rookie symposium. I think I remember the rookie symposium was like right after you got drafted, but before your contract. So everybody there was just literally thinking about the money they were about to make, because you kind of know what you're slotted in to make by guys from the previous year. So I'm not really trying to tell or listen to someone tell me, hey, don't spend $150,000 on a car when I'm about to sign a $5 million contract. And at that time, most people think, oh my gosh, $5 million, I've made it. Obviously you still want a second contract, but people think $5 million goes way longer in that lifestyle, but it doesn't. And it's all about that lifestyle. So stuff like that, I think, is just big, where they can just do something repetitive, because it's going to be hard to just say, hey, we do it once, and think they're going to listen.
You kind of hinted at, well, you didn't hit, you talked about that, the timeline, right? You work out, season finishes, you choose an agent, then the draft happens, then the symposium happens, then you're going to camp. But that symposium happens and camp stuff seems pretty tight. So you're going across the country to a place you've never been before.
I think we lost Steve.
Okay, man, I thought it was my
No,
internet.
you're good. You're
That
good.
whole process, like
I was
after
about
the
to
draft.
check my connection. Okay, he's back.
He's back. Steve, say that. Go
So that
ahead.
process after the draft, like what's that timeline like there from
It
picked, and I got to find a place to live and get ready to practice?
is tight. To your point, I think I flew out that next week. So at the beginning of that next week, right, the first round guys, they fly them out there like that day. And then so I got flown out the next week, to your point. So it was kind of like, all right, well, pack a bag for a couple of days. You're gonna go out here. So then you get out there. Obviously, everything before that is just congratulations and everybody hitting you up and wanting to go places and do things. They want to spend money that you don't have yet, all of that. And then so you get out there, and it's, to your point, tight timeline. But it's like, hey, you land, you're meeting some scout or some coach, not one of your main coaches, but someone, right, who's in charge of running and getting guys from the airport. You're trying, they're giving you the little tour of, like, as we're driving, hey, here's Mount Rainier, hey, here's, Lake Washington, like, just all of that stuff. So it's just like so much. And then you get there, you meet the coaches and all of that, and you walk around the building, they show you your locker. You'll meet some of the other guys that they had any like second or third round draft picks around that time. So you're meeting those guys. So I mean, it's just so much in so little time. You're getting fitted for your helmet, you're getting fitted for all your shorts, all the, are you a Nike guy, you're an Adidas guy? Well, here's our Adidas stuff. Like, so you get fitted and do all of that stuff while you're there, and you hardly have time to really soak it in and take it in, because it's just like business, 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 get it done. And I mean, you're at the, team hotel, and that's about it. But as far as finding a place to live, that's like the second time around when you come back out, like during camp, because during camp you got to be at the hotel anyway. So they're not really worried about getting you housed up before then. But even then, right, just as a young adult coming out of college, where you're probably campus living or on campus. But like, then you, to your point, you have to find somewhere to live. So you've got that resource on the team who's like your player development person, who like can tell you the different places people stay, but I mean, it's hard, man, because I mean, everything looks nice, right? You got a nice budget all of a sudden. You're like, hey, man, I love to stay in that high rise, or, hey, but you can't stay on this side of the highway. Like, I know in Seattle, like, you didn't stay on the other side of five or the 520, I guess. But it was just like on that bridge, you didn't stay in Seattle. The stadium was in Seattle. You stayed on the practice side, by where Renton was. So just like things like that. But all of that is really fast, and it's a lot. And then, I mean, before you know it, you've got your playbook. They, send you home with the playbook, which is a thick playbook, because the playbook has everything, right? It's not, during the season, it's a lot easier because, all right, here's our game plan. We're dwindled down to this. But like in camp, it's like, hey, we're running through the whole playbook. And especially, just being a rookie guy and coming in with veterans, right? Like Hasselback was there. So it's, you don't have a whole bunch of time to be like, hey, Matt, so when he does this, like, they want you to just like hit the ground running. So you get that expectation from that. But it is a very tight timeline, to your point.
What were you most responsible about financially? And what was the stupidest thing you did with your money?
Goodness. Responsible is that I did not do any crazy, like, huge purchases, right? Like, I did like a standard, like a car. I didn't buy a house at that time yet. So I was responsible in that I didn't do any splurge. Like,
What was the car? What was the car?
BMW X5. So one of the things I did do, though, just like every other rookie, I feel like I went and put rims on it. I went and put some 24-inch rims on. TJ Houshmandzadeh was out there. He had some 22-inch rims. He hooked me up with his rim guy. So yeah, I went and put some rims on it. That was probably one of the silliest things. And then my friend, my best friend from home, had his birthday. Was his birthday? Or was it his ba no, it was his bachelor party. His bachelor party in Vegas. That was an irresponsible Vegas. That I'll
That's
just say
fair.
I've never and won't ever do, but I've never had to go to the back of the club and talk to the bank person to verify it was me. Like, the bank had called him, was like, hey, we want to make sure this is you.
That's great. That's great.
I like that.
All right, we had Brandon Bell on the podcast, and I want to ask a similar question because you didn't get this opportunity at Penn State and weren't even, no offense, really even close to it, but NIL is now a thing. How would that have changed your college experience?
Oh goodness, I would have been able to take care of my family a lot sooner, right? Because I say that because I feel like we were, at Penn State, I was kind of a name, right? So I feel like I would have been able to cash in on a lot of deals. It would have been tough, though, honestly, because I mean, with that money comes a lot of other things, right? Like, I mean, you're still a kid at the end of the day at that time. As much as we want to be grown and think we know everything, right? You're on scholarship. I mean, just the simple things, right? We had meal points. We didn't pay for our printing at Penn State, right? We were living large, right? Just like the struggles of other people, like, oh man, y'all get free printing. But so, like, you don't really know how to budget. And then, I mean, I think about State College and I think about, like, I would have, say, I got a Range Rover or something. Like, where am I driving in State College? You know what I mean? Like, you're not really going anywhere. So it had just been, and obviously these guys are getting crazier cars and they're getting these nice cars and just things. But I think it would have came with a lot of responsibility. I really wish I would have had it, but a part of me is I'm okay with not having had that because I don't know what that would have led to. And I'll say I don't like the team dynamic that it kind of creates now because I feel like it gets that pro feel of one guy's pay higher than the other. He feels like he should get the ball or they should do this. And I think it kind of takes away from just the, hey, man, we're all here to win, just to play ball. And like we all got the same amount of meal points at the start of the semester. So we're good. So that part I'm okay with because I think those relationships and those bonds that I built while I was at Penn State, those were genuine because like, hey man, we were here to win. We were not here based off of money or who was getting what. We were all here to win.
You talk about transitioning, out of football and life after football. How did you kind of find your groove? And I guess for the audience, what are you doing kind of life after football? And how did you find your groove after football?
So I'm a manager now at Cox Communications, so it's a cable company. So I'm a manager for the network security engineering team. So in layman's terms, routers, switches, firewalls, any type of connectivity A to B. My team has a hand in that as far as firewall rules and routing and switching and all of that stuff. Finding that groove, I was really lucky. Obviously, I think a lot of people, obviously everybody knows Penn State is such a great school and the reputation that it has. So, right, having that on my resume was huge. But I think a large part also was, I mean, I did my master's when I was in San Diego, right? And I did World Campus. And it was just one of those things. As fun as the league is, as much hype as it is very humbling, right? When it's your time or your time is over or you start that downward decline, it happens. And there's no holding hands of that. So, I broke my leg in my third season, and then that was going into my contract year. And then we had switched coaches. I had like three different offensive coordinators. So I was going into free agency, only having played, coming back from the broken leg, maybe 4 or 5 games, right? So obviously, as a speed guy, people wanted to see more. Is he back? And so I went into free agency at a bad time. Signed out in San Diego, but it was literally like I signed to be a backup. Like you could just tell, like it wasn't like, you're not getting, and they're not really shy about it. Like you're not getting first team reps. Philip Rivers is throwing the ball. I'm not in line with Philip. Like I'm in line with Charlie Whitehurst, the guy behind him. But it's humbling like that in that, hey man, like, obviously you're still here, but like, this I'm might not carve out a 15-year career. So that was the thing of like just looking at that. And then the NFL has really good benefits if you take advantage of them. So one of them is that they'll pay for your school. If you hadn't finished undergrad, they pay for that. If you have finished undergrad, which I had, they pay for your master's. So it's free master's for me, World Campus. I already had relationships with my counselors from Penn State. So I just looked into that and then I did cybersecurity. Long story short, I did my undergrad in forensic science, so crime scenes, bullet trajectory. We had a couple classes in digital forensics that, for the laptop or a phone at the crime scene, how do you get information off of people think they deleted it? So I always knew that was interesting to me. And then while I was in San Diego, was kind of one of those first target point of sale breaches when kind of like hacking and all that stuff became like a thing. And then I was like, oh, is like digital forensics to me, just on a network now, so with a computer and stuff. So that's what led me to the cybersecurity part of that. And then so I, was fortunate enough I finished my master's. So when I transitioned out, I was really in a good place with a master's in a really hot field in security, right? So I mean it still took some time because you don't just start at the top. It was humbling, right? I went from an NFL guy to I was an intern making 15 an hour. And of course, right, everybody there is like, oh my gosh, why did you stop playing football? Why are you here? So you got to explain, like, because everybody, like the common person thinks people just stop playing football. Like that, like it's almost like getting fired from a job and then people ask you, why did you leave that company? So you have to keep it like, hey, I didn't make the team. But this is like the common person just thinks that. So it's funny how you tell that story over and over again. But I was really, really good position. So I was glad that I was able to transition out to that position now that I'm in.
That's awesome.
I have a
Go ahead,
work
Steve.
question and a football question separately. So in terms of cybersecurity and all the stuff that you did, the background, does that affect how you behave on your phone and your computer? Like, are you
It
like, I'm
does.
not doing
I am a two-factor all day, every day person. People are like, why do you have, or like long passwords? So I definitely, because I see it firsthand of how easy it is to get information and when people are really lackadaisical, how easy it is. So I know, I mean, I take that serious because I see it every day.
okay. And then my football was, because we were ending with San Diego a little bit and whatever else, I want to know what were your best moment in the NFL was.
Oh man, one of the best ones was my first touchdown catch against the 49ers on a double move near the end zone. I remember that was a good one. My first game I started against Chicago, caught a touchdown pass, had a good game. That was a really good memory. I think if I just, yeah, if I think about it, those are two of the top ones that I think about as far as really good moments. And then there was another kind of game winner against San Fran and going into the playoffs that I caught. We were down by, I don't know, maybe two or something. We kicked a field goal to win the game, but we needed a long yardage play, and I got that long yardage play to get us into field goal range. So that was a huge moment there too.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Thank
All right.
you.
We have some rapid fire questions and then we can let you out, get out of here.
You're good.
All right. What is your go-to creamery ice cream flavor?
Oh my gosh, I haven't had creamy ice cream in so long. Would it do that? I just probably would get like a regular. Where's that? The peach one, peachy
Yeah,
one.
Peachy Paterno. Yeah,
There
yeah.
you go. The peachy one. Do they change them? I haven't had it.
They still have Peachy Paterno.
Okay, I will say
It's
that's the one I last remember getting.
okay.
But yes.
That was
Okay.
not going anywhere.
All right.
Okay.
You are the czar of Penn State sports for one day. What change are you making?
Man, what change am I making? You know what? I feel like I would used to say they I would swag out the jerseys a little more, but they Franklin has let them swag it out some. So, I don't know, for maybe for like a bowl game, I'll let them put their names on the back of the jersey. I can't really think of much, but just let them for the bowl game, I'll let them do it.
All right.
Ooh.
I like that. All right. And last one. You're back in town for one night and one night only. What bar are you walking into?
Goodness, there's the thing. Do they even have the same
You
bar?
can say, we've had people say bars that haven't existed for 20 years on this podcast.
Gosh, man, I'm trying to think. When I was there, Players and Crowbar were like
Okay. What was Players?
Players is the down the steps one,
Okay.
on College Avenue, right?
Okay.
Whatever it's
Where
called
and
now.
then there's another. What's the one that has the large pictures for like a dollar? That's down
The
in the.
first,
The
the
saloon,
first.
maybe too. Well, it could have been the
Well,
saloon.
saloon,
Okay.
saloon.
All right.
Well,
Yeah.
yeah. But no,
Because the jocks
players
are
was
always that
it.
east side of College
That's
Avenue, right?
true. That's
Because
true.
Crowbar's not there. It's a music venue now. Still the same place. But
Really?
yeah.
I mean,
If
that doesn't shock me. That's what I say, man. These places, they change so much. Like the last time I was there was a whole new wing on the hub. I was like, what is this? It's lost. Because it used to like end at like the fish tank. It
Right.
was like a whole nother. I mean, that was probably a while ago now, but like I remember just the fish tank. So when it was like another part of the fish tank, I was walking through like, what is this?
No, it's changed a lot. All right, Dion. I guess normally we give this for journalists, we offer this spot to plug, but I guess what would be your one piece of advice to somebody getting drafted? We can wrap the show up or that way.
I would just say, man, just stay focused, right? Because there's gonna be a lot of different things that come at you because you're gonna obviously have a lot more money. You're gonna have people that want to, be around you. You're gonna get so much free stuff. It's crazy. Like you get free clothes, you get paid to go to the club, right? Like that was the thing. Like I started getting paid to go to clubs and you know, just, but I mean, there's so many distractions. Just don't forget why you're there. Stay focused, stay on that path that got you to where you're at. Like everything else will happen. Like you'll still have plenty of time to have fun, have the money. I feel like every player, almost every player, right, was like, oh, I just wish I would have took it a little more serious, right? You always hear that. So it's just kind of like, hey, just while you're in that moment, stay in that moment, stay grinding. That other stuff will happen. You have off season, you can have plenty of fun, but you know, just stay in the moment.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for joining us. This was great.
Thank you. I
Thanks,
appreciate
sir.
you all having me.
Steve, I think the main thing that I took away from that interview, for all the prospective NFL talent that are going to be listening to this podcast, no, I think the main thing that I took away from this interview, and I feel like this comes up a lot, I feel like it's becoming a theme, but it's taking advantage of the opportunities that you're given. And it sounds like that's what Dion has done both in the NFL through the NFL experience and then life after the NFL. And I think that was really what stood out to me in that process and how smart and conscientious he was throughout both aspects of that process. And I think that was very interesting to hear, very eye-opening because, man, you don't really think about all the other stuff that's going on while your name's getting called to a specific team.
Yeah, I remember forensic science as an undergrad major for him, you know, which is an actual major, right? It's not like some crazy easy major, right? So he was thoughtful that way. And I mean, you heard him say it, well, I was rocking out Beaver Stadium with all those fans. Like he knew what they were doing and where he kind of fit on campus. But at the same time, he had a good head on his shoulders and still does, right? And I think that's refreshing to see because some people probably don't end up like he did, you know, an injury basically ends his career and he's got to start all over again. He talked about that. So I just enjoy spending time with him. I mean, he was a good dude when he was an undergraduate student and it seems like a good dude now. So that's kind of fun to spend some time.
Yeah, that was a very very every answer that he gave very thoughtful, and appreciated that because I think that's at least I think in general with sports we tend to forget that these athletes are humans too, and we look at so much through the lens of wins and losses, stats and figures, and there's a human element going on with all this. The part about the mom was funny to me. Imagine getting trapped in your
Yeah, well,
mom's.
it makes it easier to see it through the lens of it when it's a good human, right? Like when they have their head on their shoulders and they're self-aware. Like I think he's right. Like Dion in college, NIL money might not have made the wisest decisions, but he would have known he was making them, I think, at the time even. So I really enjoy that part of it. Like he's just thoughtful and smart and self-aware. So I'm glad he made time for us.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks to Dion for joining. Like I said, 2006 Darian, very excited about that podcast interview. 2024 Darian, also very excited about that podcast interview. All right, Steve, it's your show. The first thing you sent me was CFB slash commencement date change. Fill the
And
people in.
did that break before or after last week when we talked? It was
And
after we observed.
I only heard about it this week, like or well, or this weekend. Like I think Wogue had a story. Wogue, I feel like, was the first person I saw with said story.
Yeah, and I sent Wogo, Mark Wogan, who does stuff for Sports Illustrated or whatever it's my team, Team Nation or whatever it's called, but you should be following him because he's really good. Connected the dots. The University Center release out the 17th. Like, no fanfare. Just there's going to be a big event happening in the fall. So we're going to move commencement from Saturday to Sunday in the fall. And that was literally the gist of it. And the media folks who did report it didn't connect the dots until Wogo did, which was interesting to me. I think at least somebody at Penn State thinks they're going to be good. And if they don't think they're going to be good, I know I see that face. That's great. So if it's not that, right, then it's kudos for being proactive around a major event, which as much as I've kind of beat them up for like not planning and not whatever, if you don't think they're going to be 5 through 8, then you got to think they're at least smart enough to plan for the eventuality before it happens. So I'm going to give them credit for that piece of it.
I full-heartedly just it's the second half of that. It is that, like, we're mean and it is our job, our very high-paying job on this podcast, to sit here and nitpick every little thing that Penn State Athletics does. But I think they're smart enough to like think a little bit through. So I don't know. I didn't graduate that weekend. I did. This was one of the concerns, or not concerns, but this was one of the points of, oh yeah, we got to figure that out in the whole playoff system, the revamp. I think it makes sense. I'm interested to see. Here's what I wonder. I guess, and I maybe I'm wrong, but I think some schools they go a week shorter, like on the spring half or on the fall half. Maybe Penn State does that. I don't know in the future. Like if this becomes a recurring thing and is kind of a pain in the ass for everybody. But no, I think it made sense. Like it's just funny. It was funny to see them a large scale event was very like, it's just come on, like everybody in the room is an adult here. We all know that this could be the college football playoff. We're going to do this because of all these reasons. I would be interested to talk to, as a person that doesn't use a hotel, you don't use a hotel, would be interested to talk to people that have tried to book a hotel either on the parent grad of a graduation student side or parent slash person that cares about Penn State football side and see if that's been any of a hassle. Because I know graduation weekends and football weekends and dawn weekend, those are the three big kind of time periods of
Right. And
booking.
I'm sure some people already had rooms, right? Because they knew it was coming. So that do they let go of their Saturday night room to get a Sunday? Or gosh, I'd probably keep it and sell it to somebody else and pick up a Sunday night room somewhere or something, I don't know. So yeah,
Anyways.
I guess you're right on both sides. I hadn't thought about it as much on both. Like I was kind of beating up the media for not connecting the dots. But at the same time, Penn State probably should have just said, potential for a college football playoff game, we're doing it instead of, but I would bet, I'd be willing to bet there were our at least of
Oh yeah.
discussion
Oh
about
yeah.
the weight of football over the academic mission of the university and why we say this. And you're right, it should have just been that because it's just disingenuous, right? Like again, I go back on beating up people. Just tell them why you're doing it, right?
Oh, I think I guarantee you that there was. I mean, have we ever talked about this? I don't know if we ever talked about the. Have we ever talked about the Twitter thing? I think
Oh
it's time
no.
we expose
I
this.
don't know if I know, so
Okay,
I'm
it's not
glad I'm not
anything
sitting there.
bad, but it goes back to like how we think about things. So when I found this out because we would ask James Franklin when we were in Bentonville, we would ask James Franklin to retweet things from his account and for Bentonville. Well, and I bet this is probably why it was worded this way. Well, so he would only do it for the next coming game. So it could be February 5th. And if the Ohio State game was October 16th and Penn State was playing the Little Sisters of the Poor, he didn't care about Ohio State. He would only retweet it if it showed the Little Sisters of the Poor. If it had anything to do with any of the other games, he would not retweet it. So if you go look at Penn State when Penn State releases kick times, so this will happen this fall or this spring. In fact, I guarantee this will happen next month. Let's call it, we'll get the Ohio State kick, right? And then we'll also get week one, West Virginia. Penn State football will tweet out a graphic saying this is when Penn State football plays and this is when their game for West Virginia is. Penn State Athletics Twitter will tweet out this is when Penn State's game with Ohio State will kick off. Penn State football will not tweet, retweet, do anything with the, you are just supposed to that two different accounts, two different brains. And I think that's probably why it was worded that way. We are psychoanalyzing this again. We nitpick over everything on this podcast, but I guarantee you that was a point of conversation at some point in
No,
writing that.
you're right, and I just overlooked it because I guess I'm used to it because that's awful close. It's awful close to home, in terms of what I do. But yeah, I think at some point you just tell the truth. Like this is why we're doing it. But I am sure there were great discussions about whether we mentioned college football playoff and why we're mentioning moving graduation because it's going to indicate we're a football school. Meanwhile, we've probably got more people who are trying not to be trustees as former football players than any other school in the country. So, like, if that doesn't speak to your football culture, then I don't know what does. So, yeah.
He's feisty today.
Well, it's just,
He's not wrong. None of it's
it's
wrong.
true.
Oh, you're right. All right.
So, you had to, I had to
So,
write people in if I didn't want to pick a football player.
did I write anybody in? No, I didn't write anybody in this year. I did write in my like suggesting people. as always, I always write in my roommate Andy Bador.
Right. Yeah.
So it's just as tradition. Okay.
Cool.
You feel good about that? Feel the week.
Deep cleansing breath. There you go. Yeah. Okay. There you go.
All right. You went to the wrestling national U.S. team trials this weekend, Steve. How was that?
Good event. They did a good job. For as much as we talk about, you know, we'll be, again, nitpicking on events, I thought the wrestling trials came off well. For anything that happened functionally, operationally, it all seemed smooth from a fan standpoint. I think when they're back in 4 or 8 years, which they will be just because it went so well, the only thing that seemed a little minor league about the effort was they did a fan fest in Pagula, and they had like 12 vendors on where the ice should have been, and everybody had to kind of walk down through the ice and go through the where the ice was and go through the dasher boards. The footprint wasn't big enough for it. And by the time they come back again, they'll have a new practice facility north of Jeffrey so they can do it in there. But good event and great. It was fun to watch the Penn State people wrestle with who to cheer for, right? When it was Penn State on Penn State on the mat, right? Probably a little disrespectful to Jordan Burroughs, even though maybe he brought some of that on upon himself, but probably a shade disrespectful. But no, good event all the way around.
I think we need to talk about the main match of the weekend, which was Aaron Brooks and David Taylor. What was that like to experience in person? Because I was very jealous. This is one of the first times I've been jealous of Steve on this podcast.
Yeah, it was really cool to see. It was also like, shit, Aaron's better than David, right? Like, there's that piece of David Taylor you've invested in for the 4 years of being one of the faces of the program, three-time world champion, Olympic champion. And, you know, he scored 2 points in two matches, right? Like, it was 4-1 and 3-1. So yeah, it was a little air out of the balloon for me, because I don't know if I was ready for it, the torch to be passed. And I don't know that it fully is. I think David Taylor is still maybe the second best guy in the world, honestly, at that weight. But you kind of knew, like, it was just like, okay.
It was kind of an emotional moment. Like, it was for somebody that most of my wrestling knowledge comes and starts from the David Taylor era on. It was a very, like, that moment at the end when they were both on the mat together and they were hugging each other on their knees. I was like, oh, this is a little like goosebumpy. Like, it was tough, not tough to watch, but it was, I guess it was tough to watch. I don't know. It was weird. It was kind of one of those things, like Saturday night, like the rest of the night, it's just kind of like, pardon the pun, but wrestling with it, that like, oh, we just watched Aaron Brooks take down David Taylor, and he thought it could happen, but he didn't think it was gonna happen, type thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it was exactly that, right? Like, David Taylor and I have nothing in common except dad of daughters, right? And that was kind of where I felt like afterward, when they're done, I'm like, okay, this guy's gonna be a hell of a good father. Like, I think he's got wrestling in him left. But it was just like, okay, that part of my fandom for that thing is over, and it was. It was a really neat weekend in a lot of ways. Like, we had an event for my college downtown at the Graduate Hotel on Friday night before the second session. So I had to get in the elevator and get downstairs and get across campus. And I'm getting in the elevator and I'm by myself. And there's this little group of people outside the three elevators waiting to get in one. I'm like, hey, folks, you're going to wrestling, right? And they're like, yeah, because I could see who the people were. I'm like, come on in. And it was Dan Gable and his entourage, right? So I rode the elevator down with Dan Gable. That was kind of cool. And then we see Jaden Cox, who's a longtime Olympic and national level wrestler who retires. I'd never seen that. Like, I'd never seen a guy actually leave
his shoes
on the mat, right? Which was really cool. And the Jordan Center did a good job giving him a standing ovation. And then you got Brooks and Taylor, right? Like, it was all of those things that made the on mat. And it was fun. But yeah, it was a little bittersweet. Like, I'm done, but, you know.
I think for me, though, I will say, at least it's a good dude. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Aaron Brooks has handled himself very well, and I think that goes a long way. And I don't know. I said it. He's the best athlete. It's might not even be close now. He's different. I mean, for as much as we felt about David Taylor, it very much feels the same way, and maybe then some, about Aaron Brooks.
Yeah, he just makes it looks effortless. right?
Yeah,
Which
that's
is
what's
most
scary.
impressive about it.
That's what's scary. Like it, there was one point he had David on his kind of, like, quite literally on his heels, and I was like, oh, this might be it. So, okay, feel good. I got everything off your list.
Yeah, you got the old guy, young guy. This is the part I
Yes.
didn't do.
Okay, proud of you. This week's old guy, young guy. Here's what I was thinking about because I went and did this the other day. I went and got the car washed, and I want to know, is Steve a go to the car wash kind of guy? Is Steve the automated car wash kind of guy? The do it yourself at the car wash, but you still got to pay money for it? Or is Steve in the driveway washing the car?
I'm going to go off the board on this.
Oh God, he doesn't wash it at all.
I'm the let's hope it rains guy.
Of course you are. Really? You don't pay ever?
Susan is so good and so conscientious about washing her car and doing stuff. And I'm like, okay, you can do the we'll do the truck like this second or third time. But I guess it's a truck, right? And I don't
You're tough.
I'll do the automated, like you do it yourself automated thing like once or twice a year, and then otherwise we're in the driveway. But I more often than not, Susan be like, I'm washing my car today. Do you want your truck done? And I'm like, you know, if you want to, great. If not, like, it'll rain.
Wow, you
Sorry.
know
So, which one are you?
that's how Anna feels about it too. I take the cars to the car wash now, not like maybe like once every 2 months, not very often. But like I got in, we primarily drive the CRV, and then we have the Accord, and I got in the Accord, and there was a lot of pollen on it. Couldn't see. I was like, all right, we're gonna stop right at the car wash on our way
Yeah,
out.
and when we used to even Park Forest, that was probably maybe more so. Let me ask the follow-up in the other question. What about detailing the inside?
I vacuum it. I vacuum our car because we have dogs. You have to when you have dogs.
We had guests today at the college, and I had to pick them up. So I picked stuff out of the truck, got stuff out of the back seat, but didn't sweep like the floor mat area really bad. And the guy gets in the back and he's like, "What kind of dog you got?" I'm like, "I'm so sorry. But red lab." He's like, "Oh, I never heard of a red lab." So then it became a discussion point. So he's like,
Go.
"That's okay. We got a golden retriever. My truck looks just like this." I'm like, "Okay, I feel better now."
No, and see, the thing is, you would think Marty doesn't shed, or like he actually sheds more than Bolt, except his hairs are like little fine little eyelashes that he leaves around. And Bolt's are easy because you can just take your hand and it clumps right up. Marty's, you got to get the like Dyson out and you got to turn it on the max setting to really get in there. So, no, I don't. Anybody that's listened to this podcast that's been in our car knows that our car is pretty much inside always messy, but we do try to vacuum occasionally. No, I was just curious. I didn't know if like what's the most of your comfortable spend? Because there's an option at our car wash that's $30,
Okay, I'm not paying.
and
I'll
that's
spend like
nuts.
the $5 or $6 to do it myself if it even costs that much, right? We
Okay.
went to Florida and I did the automated one, and I was gonna go through the automated thing, like the brushless thing that you drive through, and the dude's like, "No," and we had driven through the rain going to south. He's like, "Dude, you need to spray it on. It's not gonna come off if which is what you're doing." So,
Yeah.
few bucks. I'm not. I'm. There's
Okay.
lots more things I can spend my money on.
Okay. That's fair. That's fair. That's fair. All right. We did this old guy young guy this week. I'm proud of us because we forgot to do it last week. Although last week was a very long episode. Anyways, that's this week's episode. Thanks to Dion Butler for spending time with us on the podcast this week. It was a great conversation. I didn't write, or I did write last week. I wrote about the transporter last week. I don't know. If we're right this week, we'll see what the winds feel like. I guess we should probably do a newsletter. It's the last week of the month. Probably should do a newsletter this week, Steve. That's me telling you that
Okay,
we
cool.
probably should do a newsletter this week. Other than that, we've got a website. It's called stuffsummersays.com. On that website, there's a section called
Steve.
with Steve. We've got emails. Mine's Darian at stuffsummersays.com. Steve's is.
Steve at stuffsummersays.com.
Cool. 5 stars, thumbs up, subscribe somewhere over there in that general vicinity. That's about it. Twitter handles, mine's at Stuff Summer Says, Steve's is.
At Steve Sampson.
Goodbye. We're out of here.